tonight. My assignment is to preach Acts chapter 13, verses 4 through 52. That's my assignment. You're laughing. That's my assignment. I'm going to give you my main points. You can practice studying this on your own. This morning we talked about being an ascending church and how God uses a well-built church, how God uses unified leadership within the church, and how God uses Christ-exalting worship in Acts 1 through 3, in verses 4 through 52. And tonight we're talking about focusing primarily on, from Acts 13, we're focusing on being sent once, particularly Pastor Ryan and Miss Kirsten tonight, because we're sending them to Las Vegas this week. But you and I also are sent ones in Jesus' name. If it's the gas station in Wilmer, which I hear is an incredible place to be these days, the new gas station in Wilmer. But wherever you are, we are sent ones in Jesus' name. But I do want to just give you the main points, and I want to share with you from 3 John. I spoke these words in our prayer group Wednesday night as we were talking about this day today with Pastor Ryan and Miss Kirsten. But I want to share that with you from God's Word in a moment from 3 John. But number one, Ryan and Kirsten, you can expect opposition. In Acts 13, verses 6 through 12, you see satanic opposition to the gospel ministry. We need to expect the enemy to oppose us. We need to not be surprised. Golly, I'm having hard times here. No, we need to expect hardship in opposition. That was point number one. Point number two, we need to handle the setbacks. That's verse 13, Acts 13, verse 13. We need to expect opposition, number one. Number two, we need to handle the setbacks. When things do not go as we want or as we have planned, we need to, by God's grace, handle the setbacks. In that scripture, that's when John Mark went back home. He left the mission team. He quit. We don't know exactly why. The Bible doesn't say, so we don't know. No one knows. But Paul had to handle the setback, right? Number three, have a big God theology. Have a big God theology. Acts chapter 13 records Paul's first sermon, and it's also his longest sermon that's in the book of Acts, which we're not going to study tonight because of time. But what you see in that sermon is that he had a big God theology, and his sermon had three points, really. Number one, Jesus is the fulfillment Jesus is the culmination of history. That was his first point, verses 17 to 22. Jesus is the culmination of history. Number two, Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. And number three, Jesus is the justifier of sinners. Those are the three points in Paul's sermon in Acts chapter 13. And so that points us to a big God theology, a God who is sovereign, who is gracious, who is in control, a God who is never caught off guard by the hardships that fell upon Paul, and he fell upon many. Have a big God theology. Expect opposition. Handle the setbacks, the problems, when they come with godly wisdom and by God's grace. And number four, share the gospel faithfully. Share the gospel faithfully. That's verses 42 to 52. Paul proclaimed the gospel. Paul proclaimed the gospel there in Acts chapter 13, verses 42 through 52. 42 through 52. And I love this verse, and I'm going to 3 John because it's time for our reception. Acts 13, 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And so when you expect opposition, and you handle the setbacks with godly wisdom and by God's grace, and you have a big God theology, you will be faithful to proclaim the biblical gospel, and God will save people and grow His church. It is His church. It's not, Walk Church is not Pastor Hyden's church. And Crawford certainly is not my church. The true church is God's church. Jesus purchased us with His blood. I can't do that. I may shed blood for you, but I can't purchase you with my blood. He did that. And so those are four things. Expect opposition. Handle the setbacks. Have a big God theology. And number four, share the biblical gospel faithfully. Amen. If you have a Bible, and it's time to go, but if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, if you'll look at 3 John for a minute, that's easy to find. This is what you call an audible. But this night will not be repeated in human history. You ever thought about it? You can DVR the Dallas Cowboy game, amen. 60 minutes, or whatever it is. But if you miss tonight, it can never be repeated. It can never be experienced like you experienced it, because you were here in the presence of the Lord and the presence of God's people. It's a unique moment in human history. There'll never be another one like this. Until we, even when we see Jesus, there'll never be a moment like this one. Something I shared with our folks in prayer meeting and Bible study Wednesday night as we concluded, I just want to share with our church. Because this morning we said we want to be a sending church. And these are our sent ones. Billy and Sarah Brewer are our sent ones. And we're praying for 9 more teams in the next 10 years to go as sent ones, to plant churches locally, nationally, or internationally. That's our prayer goal as Crawford Baptist Church. 3 John, verse 5. I'll start with 4 because I just can't neglect it. Third John, verse 4. Dr. Gray Allison always told us at Mid-America Seminary where I trained, He always said, and I'm going to move down here. He always said, 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. These two walk in the truth. You've heard the testimonies tonight. They walk in the truth. And when we do that, imitating their example of godliness and Christ-likeness, then people will be able to stand up and say things about you and me like we've heard said about them. But I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. In verse 5. John writes, the aged apostle John writes, Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. Now he's talking about traveling evangelists and missionaries that came through to this particular church that John is writing to, and this church didn't know them that well. But they prayed for those missionaries and evangelists, and they supported them financially so they could go on their way to the next town, the next village, their next assignment. That's what John is saying. He says, it's a faithful thing you do in helping these brothers. Look at verse 6. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. And that's what we want to do for Ryan and Kirsten. In fact, I believe as we fulfill the Great Commission in the spirit of the Great Commandment, this is what we are required of God to do, is to send this couple right now and help them prayerfully and financially. And that's one reason one of our prayer goals is to eliminate the debt we have so we have more money for church planting and world disciple making, global disciple making, because that's what we're commissioned to do. God's not going to evaluate us on the beauty of our facility, although we have a beautiful facility. He's going to evaluate us on how we have not our seating capacity, but our sending capacity. How many have we discipled and equipped and sent out in a manner worthy of the Lord? How many of our children are walking in the truth? And so we want to send them out in a manner worthy of the Lord. Notice this, verse 7. For they have gone out for the sake of the name. Why are Ryan and Kirsten going out? For NAM? No. For the IMB? Certainly not. Not for NAM, not for IMB, not for the SBC. They're not going out for CBC, Crawford Baptist Church. They're not going out to make a name for themselves. They're going out for the sake of the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. So they've gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, notice verse 8. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers in the truth. I believe God is asking us to be that kind of ascending church for these precious ones tonight. And for the other 9 or maybe more that God will raise up in the next 10 years of our time together as we seek God's will for this faith family. And so I wanted to give you a biblical basis as to why we pray for our sent ones. We support our sent ones. Some of you support Billy and Sarah out of your own budgets. You send that money in and it goes to the church. Some of you may do it directly to their missions organization. And I'm going to tell you, I want to encourage us all to strive to support this couple and help meet the need they will have as they serve our Lord in Las Vegas. You say, why would you go to 3 John? 3 John. Go to 3 John, verses 4 through 8, and you'll find a good biblical motivation to support godly missionaries as they go out for the sake of the name. Amen.